Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu is going back home, text number 29. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Stuvatishu.
Stuvatishu.
Amara.
Amara.
Srishu.
Srishu.
Pati.
Pati.
Lokam.
Lokam.
Vata.
Vata.
Vadu.
Vadu.
Yam.
Yam.
Ba.
Ba.
Akvalidam.
Akvalidam.
Vurya. Extraordinarily beautiful not enjoy sex life. Indeed, they consider sex not to be very relishable with both husband and wife, always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in glorifying chanting the glories of the Lord. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also, a husband and wife can turn home into a place as good as Vaikuntha, even while in this material world. Being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this world, husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha simply by installing the deity of the Lord within the home and serving the deity according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way, they'll never feel the sex urge. That is a test of advancement in devotional service. One's advanced in devotional service is never attracted by sex life. And as soon as one becomes detached from sex life and proportionally attached to the service of the Lord, the actual experience of living in life on the planets, and the ultimate issue, there is actually no material world, but one forgets the service of the Lord and engages himself in the service of his senses, he is said to be living in the material world. So the text again, Maitreya Vacha, Stuvati Shusvara, Stuvati Shvamara Srishu, Patilokam Vithavadu, Yamba Atma Vidam Duryo, Vanya Prapachitashraya. The great sage Maitreya continues speaking, I hear Vidura, and the wise of the denizens of heaven, with us talking among themselves, Queen Archie reached the planet which her husband Marj Prithu, the topmost self-realized soul, had obtained. Mama Vishnu Bhadaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvushe Cha Shinubadi Pasgatya De Sitarana. Two important things to mention in this verse. One is, as we've heard before, Yam Yam Bhavi Smaran Bhavam Tyayam Gantakalevram Tam Tam Evai Kunteya Siddhata Bhava Bhavitaha. Now, whatever one thinks of at the time of death, that one will certainly attain to that situation in the one's next lifetime. Sharira Yadavati Yas Chakti Kramati Shraha The living entity carries its different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma, and thus it takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So here, things are made quite simple. Generally, the conception of life is Ishraham Hambogi Siddham Balaban Sukhi. That I am the Lord and I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. Because this conception is based upon the body. Because it's the body which is controlling material energy, and it's the body which is trying to enjoy material nature. But since we're not the body, therefore, whether we have exalted qualities or we have degraded qualities, still has nothing to do with our actual selves, because we're apart from the body, although we're certainly the observer and the experiencer of what the body goes through our consciousness. But that's only because we remain attached to the bodily concept of life, or the subtle mental or intellectual concept of life. But there's an alternative conception of life, although it's seen rather strange, modern civilization, or rather peculiar, but it is in the actual normal conception of life, namely that I am a servant of Krishna. Therefore, it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita as one of the processes of knowledge, nitya chara, ishto nishta prapadishu, that jara, was the word for the wife in Sanskrit? Amani Vamadan Vivam Hingsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Pasanam Sojam Stiryamatha Vinigraha Indriyarke Shubhadaragam Anahamkar Evacha Jadma Murti Jaral Yadi Dukha Doshan Darshanam. Asapta Anavishvanga Nitya Putra Sriya Anasatishtan Nityatvam. Wife, children, home, and rest. Now, unattachment to wife, children, home, and the rest. Asatina Vishvanga Putra Dara. Oh, the word is Dara. Vihadishu. Dara Vihadishu. So Putra is children, Dara is wife, and Griha means home, and Adishu. If there is children, there is wife, it's a good idea to have a few other things too. So Adishu. And asakta, a non-attachment to wife, home, children, and the rest. This is one of the processes of knowledge. This doesn't mean neglecting the children, neglecting the wife or the house. It means non-attachment. But in the mature concept of life, if something doesn't give you material enjoyment, then you become unattached to it, or you try to become unattached to it. Either you destroy it or you leave it. Therefore, naturally, when people hear this, they think, oh, unattached, cold, unfeeling. They can't conceive that there can be feelings besides trying to exploit something. But there can actually be spiritual feelings, and therefore, but we have to develop those spiritual feelings. Therefore, here it mentions that we should put Krishna in the house. Installing the deity means we're inviting Krishna to come into the house. But the reason why we're inviting Krishna into the house, not simply so we can eat better. He can bless our food and we can eat better. No, the idea is, actually it is Krishna's house, but in different circumstances there's more of a tendency to forget that it is actually Krishna's house, and to try and make it into a place of sense gratification. So that's not a good idea, because then we'll miss out on the great opportunity of actually becoming Krishna conscious. And the higher state of happiness that is attained when we become conscious of Krishna is explained here. That in the Vaikuntha planet, the men and the women are thousands of times more beautiful and opulent than on this planet, but they're not all attracted to sex love. So this animal's rather unusual, because material experience means the topmost experience is sex love. People are working hard for economic development, and in the end, they want to enjoy sense gratification. They're not working hard at building big houses and having cars and big buildings and so much exploitation of material nature. At the end, the whole thing is tuchava. To get a little bit of yanmanikunayi, grihamedi, sukham hi tucham. That is materialistic existence. People may not admit it, but ultimately that's what everyone is interested in. The biggest seller on the internet is pornography. People are not just interested in sex life, they're not even interested in animal life. They want to become lower than the animals. They think the animals are too conservative. That pornography on the internet sells more than Hollywood and all the entertainment, all the magazines, all the sports events sell together. It's quite a big business, because that's all people are interested in, because they have no other experience. They have no idea that there's possibly could be a higher taste, because they've rejected God. Of course, they've rejected God, because the God who was presented to them was hardly anything like God. Some old man sitting on a throne, trying to lord over material nature, simply waiting to punish people. An angry, jealous God. not the type of warm, loving person you want to, you know, keep in your house. But Krishna is not that kind of God. Therefore, Krishna, if one satisfaction comes to Krishna, there's an ocean of pleasure. But now our senses are covered, just like if one wants to eat a big meal and puts his love on the tongue. It'll be very difficult to taste what the meal's like. You may think everything tastes like cotton. But actually, it's not the fault of the meal. You have to take the glove off, and then you can taste what the cotton, what the actual meal tastes like, rather than the cotton. Simply, covered by material senses, therefore we imagine that everything tastes material, and that everything is like sense gratification. The senses are urging some kind of satisfaction, and when we satisfy the senses, when we follow their demands, then we think that's happiness. But Krishna says, Yehi samsparsha bhogam, dukha yone evate, adyantya bhakti kondiya nante shu ramate buddha. That an intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery. So this is rather an unusual conception to tell people that sex life is miserable. People think you're crazy, or you're frustrated, or you haven't read, you haven't gone to school and have become educated. But Krishna says it's because it's temporary. There may be some kind of satisfaction, pleasure, because unless there was gratification, some kind of gratification, then why would anyone bother working so hard? Brahma created, first of all, man, and then man wasn't doing anything. He wasn't very inspired to be in the material world. So he had to create a woman. And then she got him inspired, got him active, working. So unless there was some kind of satisfaction, no one would be involved in such activities. But Krishna says, it's only temporary. Now people say, well, we have no other choice because, you know, might as well, if that's the only thing around, then you might as well accept what's available. But our philosophy and our activities are meant to show that there's a higher taste available by taking to the process by which we actually become conscious of Krishna. And when we're actually conscious of Krishna, then not only the tendency for material sense gratification diminishes, but one can experience another type of happiness. So at least, Machita Machkata Prana Bodhyam Hesparashram Kataya Tastanam Nityam Tushanti Chara Manticha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees that dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction, bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So on one side there's Tushanti, and then there's Ramanti. So Tushanti means that if we control our senses and engage in Krishna service, we'll feel a kind of satisfaction. And what is that satisfaction? Is that our materialistic tendencies will diminish. That as we become more conscious, more respectful, for instance, in the beginning of a relationship, romantic relationship, the man and the woman are very nice to each other. Otherwise, neither one of them, you know, at the beginning of the romance or at the beginning of the engagement, the man says, wow, I can't believe you look so ugly without makeup on. And the woman says, I thought you were stupid, but now after talking to you more closely, I can see you're actually a fool. The relationship could not last very long. Therefore, the man has to imply, either directly or indirectly, that you're enchanted. I'm enchanted by you. Otherwise, why would the ladies dress nicely and try to act polite? They have to have some kind of, be able to enchant the man, otherwise, why would he get married? Unless you're There has to be some kind of appreciation. And if the woman doesn't apply the man, she appreciates the man, that he's powerful or intelligent or has some kind of opulence, then how would he be inspired? So there's some appreciation, there's some nice behavior, but after familiarity, after being married for some time, the familiarity sets in. The bubble gum. You chew bubble gum, and at the beginning it has some sugar in it. But if you keep on chewing long enough, the sugar goes out, and you just wind up chewing the gum. There's nothing left there. So what's the natural reaction? You go, you just spit it out. So in the beginning, we were very nice, polite, appreciative. Because we want to get some sugar. And then after we get the sugar, then we chew a little bit longer and say, there's no more sugar. Where's the next piece of gum? Therefore, as long as relationships are based upon that principle, of course, they're not going to last. And what is the proof? How many relationships nowadays last in the material world, which are based upon that principle? Probably it's hard to find statistics, because the man who is keeping the statistics, his wife left him, and he's too disturbed now. That's why we keep the statistics. But, in general, you can see, just ask children on the street who your parents are, and he has a number of varieties of parents. He said, which one? First, second, and third. Therefore, relationships have to be based upon something other than that. And previously, people, when they were a little God conscious, there was hardly any divorce. Even some idea that there was a God, there were principles. And when society had some conception like that, that people had some other purpose of life other than just to gratify their senses. And therefore, people are actually rather peaceful compared to present society. But even better than that is people are actually Krishna conscious or actually God conscious. They'll be happy living together without trying to exploit each other. If they could actually become Krishna conscious. And there is a process, namely to offer the food to the deities, to chant Hare Krishna, to hear about Krishna, and then if we accept the philosophy and apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishati adva tadva kamaya pravishati sarve sashanti maha. Apnoti nakama kami. Person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled and is always still, kalamachi peace, and not the person who tries to satisfy such desires. So in other words, unfortunately, most of us have been trained up in the science of exploitation. So we have to understand things work according to association. The thing we're trying to exploit most was the opposite sex, and everything else was more or less an ancillary to that exploitation. People buy cars, they buy houses, they buy everything more or less as equipment in order to make a conquest with the opposite sex. The beauty parlors, the jewelry stores, clothing stores aren't simply for the sake of themselves. They're meant to empower the ladies to attract men. The cars, the buildings, the jobs, the money. It's meant to empower the man to attract the opposite sex. Therefore, we've been more or less trained up in that manner, in that way. And therefore, as soon as we come in contact with the opposite sex, naturally, there'll be desires for sense gratification. But if one can discriminate between what desires are of sense gratification and what's going to be the consequences of trying to satisfy such desires, where it's going to lead, then one may, with one's intelligence, take shelter of Krishna. Without taking shelter of Krishna, life is difficult. As it says, Pritamara, actually, when he's talking to the Kumaras said, Yet pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kamashaya grahita ukrita dhyantiya shanta tavana rikta matiyoga diyoga yuriyuga shuto ganasa kamarudam bhaja vasudeva. They said that one is fast aware of Krishna, then the result is that the heart, not of material desires, is slashed, is cut to pieces, dissolved, burned up. Something happens to it. It goes away. And if one is not conscious of Krishna and tries to restrain the senses from their objects, often it's found in the person as a failure. Even Vishwamitra Muni, who was so powerful that he was able to meditate for 60,000 years, inconceivably powerful mind and intelligence, still, by association with Menaka, he fell down. Only one learns to take shelter of Krishna in such a way that one is able to become detached from material desires. The desires will flow through our minds because we've been conditioned, and by association, to different degrees, we're going to be remembering our past activities and our past desires will be arisen. And since the only thing we found pleasure in the material world since time immemorial is either illicit sex or intoxication or eating or mental speculation, since we're accustomed to this type of happiness, naturally by association, these are the things we're going to try to enjoy again. But one has to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness and not become disturbed by the agitation of the senses, not take it so seriously. That now it's flowing through my mind, this idea, therefore I must serve it. And simultaneously as the idea flows, there's a little pinching in my heart, therefore I have to take this all seriously. Because pinching of heart, they say it's love. It's divine. It's not divine. It's the same old lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion that has been pinching our hearts since time immemorial. At first, lust is a little sugar coating on it, but it's not that sugar coating will rapidly go away. It's greed, anger, illusion, madness, envy, set in. And when it was first romance, later on becomes something else than romance. First is a trial period for the romance, and then afterwards is a trial to get divorced. So one has to go beyond that by becoming actually aware of Krishna. So the process of Prabhupada gives is very simple. Install the deity, offer the prasad, sit down morning and evening, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, and tolerate it. After the sweetness goes away, one should do things dutifully. Not now, this woman or man, I can't exploit them anymore. Get a new one. The goddess of fortune turned out to be a witch, and Narayan turned out to be a bum. So get a new one. No, instead one should realize that my wife is Krishna's eternal servant, my husband's Krishna's eternal servant, my children are Krishna's eternal servant, this is Krishna's eternal energy, and I'm Krishna's eternal servant too. And therefore I should serve my wife, my children, my husband, I should utilize the things that Krishna has given me in his service, and then I'll become Krishna conscious and happy. And if I can't do it in this household life, I won't be able to do it in any other life, because I'll become a sannyasi, and I'll think, I just got the wrong wife, that's why I became a sannyasi. But maybe this one will work out better. Or one will go into the forest and hope that some asura will come down from the heavenly planet. keep oneself company at the farm is, gets kind of lonely here. Or one will become a brahmastra. A cross between a brahmacharya and a grihastha is called a brahmastra.
Just ready to explode.
Instead, in any Grihai Thakur, Vani Thakur,
in any situation, one should try to make the best of it
by taking shelter of Krishna, and then actual love will develop. One will love one's wife, one will love one's children, one will love everyone, because one will love Krishna. And love will be distributed naturally to all living entities. So that's the Vedic culture. And as soon as the mentality of exploitation is there, or we could say, and we don't try to make an effort to get free from this desire for exploitation by following the process, then all our relationships at first they'll seem very nice, and in the end, when we can't gratify our senses anymore, we'll reject them and look for another relationship to gratify our senses with. Because that's the nature of material energy. So, over time. Thank you.
Any comments, questions?
Not even spiritual relationships.
Well, so that it can also be there in guru disciple relationship. That a person with a proper understanding that it gets some sense gratification and then pisses out and then they become resentful because there's only service and surrender left.
Yeah, Krishna has to be the center of every relationship. We should see things in relation to Krishna before we get involved in the relationship. Therefore, we should understand what our duties are, what the duties of every relationship are. If we don't understand our duties, then we'll enter into the relationship simply for sense gratification.